Thank all of you again for being here, and I know that as we have joined together in these sweet hymns of praise that our hearts have been lifted and we certainly have been encouraged. This is Father's Day. We pause for just a little while to express our gratitude to all the fathers that are in the audience, and yet at the same time to, as fathers, look at our own lives and perhaps bring them into subjection to Christ and to become the kind of person that God really wants all of us to be. One of the great examples, I think, of fatherhood in the Bible is a story that takes place in the book of Mark chapter 5. And in verse 21, it is a story about a man by the name of Jairus. You don't read about him too much in the Bible, but what you read about this man is truly and tremendously significant. The Bible says, as we begin in verse 21, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, and many people gathered with him, and he was nigh unto the sea, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and that she may live. And Jesus went unto him, and many people followed him, along with the throng of people. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter and James and John, that is the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue to see the tumult, and them that wept, and those that wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado, and why do you weep? The damsel, he said, is alive. She's only sleeping. And they laughed him and put him to scorn. And when he had put them out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel of them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel, that is, by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the daughter arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know of it, and commanded that something should be given unto her to eat. Now, I think that's a very interesting story. We've read it many, many times, but perhaps maybe the significance of it all maybe has never really touched your lives. But I began to read it this last week as I began to reflect upon Father's Day and perhaps those who had children. You know, it is Father's Day. You know, one of the great names that was given unto God was the name Jehovah Shammah. And the word Shammah in the Hebrew actually means the God who is there. That is, God is here for you. He is here for me. He is there for everyone who will call upon his wonderful and precious name. Do you know, in America today, we have a lot of what we call phantom fathers, if you will. That is, the father is there in name only, but he is not there within the home. There are a lot of men who have fathered children, but simply because you fathered a child does not make you a father. Many men have abandoned their children. And even those who have not spend very little time with their family. And that is a great tragedy within our society. It is a great tragedy because of all that goes on in our world. We think about all the criminal activity that's taking place in America today. Many of those crimes that are committed because of the absence of father or because of what we call the phantom father. Are you aware that a decade ago, consider this, just 10 years ago, the number of murders committed in America by teenagers was around 1,000? But in just 10 years, you know how many murders are committed in America today by teenagers? Over 4,000 just this last year. Now that tells me there is a real problem in our society. And many of the problems in our society rest upon the head of those that we call father. Some would blame poverty, some would blame broken homes, some would blame perhaps physical, mental abuse, but psychologists tell us that many of the problems that we face in America today must be attributed to the fact that father is not there. And he is not guiding his family. He is not leading them in the way of Jehovah God. Do you know that recent reports reveal unto us, because of the lack of the father figure within the home, that in the past 30 years, think about this, the past 30 years, 550% increase in violent crimes, 400% increase in illegitimate births in this country. There has been a 300% increase in 30 years, think about it, in teenage suicide. And more than 70% of all juveniles in the state reform institution come from fatherless families. Now that ought to tell us something, folks. It ought to tell us that we need to get back to start teaching men to be men and fathers to be fathers and to start leading our family in the way of God. And when I think about this man that we read about here, this Jairus, I see him as a man of God. And this little girl of his was the apple of his eye. He loved her very, very deeply. And those of you that have children here this morning, love your children. I love my children. I love my grandchildren very, very deeply. And I'm going to tell you something. We can identify with the feelings of this man, Jairus. His daughter is about to die, and he is reaching out. Maybe he's reached out to the medical profession, but they couldn't deal with it. Maybe he's reached out to caring folks, but now he goes unto Jesus, and there are several lessons to be learned in this great story. One of them is that Jairus' daughter saw in her father a man who was not ashamed to seek Jesus. Do you know we have a lot of fathers in our society today that are almost embarrassed if you suggest that they seek Christ? If you suggest that they obey God, they really do. They are, I can tell you, overwhelmed sometimes when someone invites them to come to worship God or to read the Bible or to pray unto God or to seek the Lord and become His child. Notice that this man sought Jesus himself. I have observed through the years that a lot of men will send their wives to maybe to church or perhaps ask the preacher to come pray for our child, or maybe they place the responsibility upon the woman. But Jairus was the man who went himself. He did not send his wife, but he accepted the role of a father to rear his children in the way of God. Paul tells us as fathers in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord." The Amplified Bible states it this way, "Fathers, do not irritate or provoke your children." That is, don't do it to anger. "And do not exasperate them to resentment, but bear them in the training and discipline and the counsel and the admonition of the Lord Jesus." Someone asked me not long ago, they said, "What do you think I ought to do with my children as a father?" Let me share with you fathers this morning what I really believe. And I've tried to do this through the years. I'm not saying I've been a master at it, but I will tell you I have tried with all that is in me to fulfill what I'm sharing with you this morning that I really believe that God prevails upon all of us to do. Let me challenge you, first of all, to dedicate your children unto God. And by dedicating your children unto God, you will dedicate yourself. If you want your children to grow up to be God-fearing young men and women, you must dedicate yourself unto God. But then secondly, you must teach your children to fear God. The Bible says that we are to fear the Lord. That is the beginning of knowledge. And that we are to turn them away from evil and to turn them unto God. Thirdly, protect them from ungodly influences in our world. Do you know that Satan is out to destroy your children and your family? He has launched an attack. So we need to rear them in the way of God. We need to protect them. We need to, fourthly, establish them within the church. You know, I'm thankful that I grew up in a home where God was exalted, where the Lord Jesus was taught. I'm thankful today that I had the opportunity to sit under the feet of a godly father and a mother. And your children deserve the same. But number five, encourage them to remain separate from the world. The world will only bring them heartache and shame. So instill within them the godly standards of the Word of God. Instruct them, number six, in the importance of becoming a Christian in baptism. A lot of parents say, well, I'm not going to influence my child. I'm not going to encourage them to be baptized. Well, let me tell you something. When you do not encourage your children to get right with God, become Christians in the act of baptism, the world is out there delivering a counter message. And so we have the responsibility to rear our children in the way of God. And you better teach them to obey the Lord. You better urge them and encourage them to be baptized and washed in the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must instruct them in the importance of prayer and the reading of the Word of God. We must teach them by our life and by our actions, not just by our words. For words mean very little if they are not applied. Fathers, we must be a seeker of God. Seekers of wisdom, seekers of strength and guidance for the sake of our family. We must show them that we are committed unto God and that we are committed unto them as a father and that we are committed as a husband to their mother. And I'm going to tell you something. Jairus' daughter saw that in her father, that she was not ashamed and that he was not ashamed to find Jesus and to seek him. But then there's another thing that she saw as well. She saw that he was not ashamed to bring Jesus into their home. You know, a lot of people get up and they go to church on Sunday morning. And they play the part of being a Christian on Sunday. But when it comes to bringing Christ in the home, it is a different thing. A lot of people want to be a Christian on Sunday, but then we want to live like the devil on Monday. And so people head back out to the world. They're not interested in bringing Christ into their home to really be the invited guest to live with us and to dwell with us. Under your roof, there better be room for Christ, the King of glory. You know, one thing our country needs today is Christian homes. That's our real problem in America. Our problem is not economics. Our problem, and it may be a problem down in the Gulf, the oil slick, but you know what our real problem is today? Our real problem is the lack of leadership within the family and leadership in the home. And when we get the home right, we'll get America right, we'll get the church right, and all will be well. We must have a home where Christ is welcome and where he is more than just a picture hanging on the wall. And where his presence is acknowledged and his name is honored and his word is obeyed. For in Psalms 127, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That tells me that when I deny Christ coming into my home and into my world, then I have denied the most important person. Do you know, do you remember the story of ancient Israel and when they were down in Egypt? And you remember how the Bible tells us that God had sent Moses and his brother Aaron down to go before Pharaoh and plead for the liberation of the children of Israel? And God had brought one plague after another upon Egypt because of their refusal to let the people of God go. And God said, I'm going to blow one more time. There will be one final strike against Israel, and that will be the death of the firstborn. So God challenged the fathers of Israel. He said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. And he said, I want you to take the blood of the lamb, and I want you to put it on the lintel of the doorpost. And when I pass over, that's where the word Passover came from, actually. He said, when I pass over, I will see the blood, and your firstborn shall be spared. And that's what the fathers down in Israel did. They took the blood and they put it on the house. And when the death angel passed through, their families were spared. But I want you to notice that it was the father who was to take the blood of the lamb. It was not the mother. It was not the children, but it was the father who was to take the blood and put it on the doorpost. The safety of the family depended upon the father. And if he placed the blood upon the door, the family would be spared from death and tragedy. And if he failed in his duty, the death angel would kill his firstborn. Let me tell you something today. Do you know that the death angel is passing through Palestine? And I'm not being facetious. Do you know that the death angel is passing through America? He is passing through our country. And he is doing it with drugs. He is doing it with alcohol. He is doing it with all kinds of disease that afflicts and affects your body. He is doing it with rebellion. He wants to enter into your home and to take your children through television, through movies, through sex, through violence. He wants to do it through acquaintances. That's why we as parents ought to be very selective of who our children run with. You know, my father always guarded me from people that could influence me in the wrong way. At the time, I didn't understand it, but I do now. And I thank God that he did. For the Bible says that in John 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He is out to steal their innocence. He is out to steal their virginity, to steal their dignity, to steal their minds and their bodies and their souls. He is out to hurt your children and mine and your grandchildren and mine. But I have put the devil on notice myself. I hope you will. That he has to come through my prayers before he gets through to my children and to my grandchildren. For I will fight him with everything that is within me. I will not sit idly by as he brings havoc into my home. And we must stand with Joshua as he stood in the Old Testament and declare boldly that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The daughter of Jairus saw that her father was not ashamed to seek Jesus, and that he was not ashamed to bring Jesus under their roof. But she also saw that he was not ashamed to express his love for his daughter. You know, if there's one thing our children need today, it is a deep, abiding love. A deep love. Not a surface love, but a deep love. Paul Harvey wrote these words, at a time when being a buddy to one son is popular, I'm going to stay a father. I believe it may yet prove to be a bit of sad psychology, he said, when dads are called Jim and Pete and Art and Jack by their children. When Spock and Freud and Dewey and William James have conspired to make dad a minor stockholder on the home's board of directors, when women's rights and civil rights and people's rights and children's rights and property rights have made it wrong for father to speak with authority, I'm going to stay a father. And if a gap exists between my sons and daughters and me, I'm going to work hard to understand, but I'm also going to work hard to be understood. And when they tell it like it is, as they say, I will listen, even if I like it better like it was. If old-fashioned things such as prayer and Bible study and going to worship and faith in God ever seem to my children to be out of it, square, or whatever, I will trust God to help me instill within them the kind of faith that has led me through life. And I pledge with Job to offer up my prayers and my sacrifices for my children. And with love in our home, I will answer their questions about the facts of life. I will not deny them the answer. But when it comes to nudeness and lewdness, I refuse to wink. And drinking and smoking are out of place and unwanted in my home as profanity and the plague. And if experimentation with drugs or marijuana is ever a problem, it will be a violation of my every prayer and my request. And no laissez-faire attitude will be accepted here, even if the weed is legalized in California or wherever, or social tripping becomes acceptable as social drinking. I want my children to know that I have made mistakes and that I am foolish, proud, and often inconsistent. But I will not tolerate that as an excuse for my own hypocrisy. I ask them to help me change, as children should, and to expect me to help them change in the methods expected of a parent. Others may look to the under 30 crowd for the wisdom to throw the past, to throw it away, and to say what will remain for future generations. Others may let the offspring in the house determine the food, the music, and the spending of the household, but I, my friend, am going to stay a father. And you know what? We need men who are committed to fatherhood. I don't know how long the daughter of Jairus lived. But you know what? Probably in her life, there was not a day that went by that this girl didn't think to herself, I am alive today because my father sought Jesus. Perhaps she grew up with children of her own and even grandchildren. And perhaps they heard that beautiful story of how her father sought the Lord in her behalf and how he put his reputation on the line as a Jew to go to this Jesus of Nazareth and beseech him, and how she was brought back to life because of a father's love for his child. Love, my friend, is not a closet full of toys or a closet full of clothes. It is not a large allowance, but to me, love is sitting that child down, looking them in the eye, and saying, we are Christians, we serve Jesus. And because of that, there are some things that I will allow in my home and some things I will not. But I will do it because I love you very, very deeply. You know, sometimes in life we have a tendency to forget that our role as fathers is to lead our children, to lead our family. I don't think you could go to the Bible and come to any other conclusion than that the family and the future of the family rest upon the father. All of us this morning. And someday you will be taken out of the way. Someday you will leave this world. And I hope to God that your legacy will be one like Jairus. I hope your family will well remember that you were a man who sought Christ and that you weren't afraid to bring Jesus into your home and that you weren't ashamed to tell your children that you loved them. Someone penned these words, It's called Daddy's Day at School. Her hair was up in a ponytail, her favorite dress tied with a bow. Today was Daddy's Day at School, and she couldn't wait to go. But her mommy tried to tell her that she probably should stay at home. Why, the kids might not understand if she went to school alone. But she was not afraid. She knew just what to say, what to tell her classmates of why he wasn't there today. But still, her mother worried for her to face this day alone. And that was why, once again, she tried to keep her daughter home. But the little girl went to school, and eager to tell them all about a dad she never sees and a father who never calls. There were daddies along the wall in the back for everyone to meet, and children squirming impatiently, anxious in their seats. And one by one, the teacher called a student from the class to introduce their father as seconds slowly passed. At last, the teacher called her name, and every child turned to stare, for each of them was searching for a man who wasn't there. "Where's her daddy at?" she heard a boy call out. "Why, she probably doesn't have one," another student dared to shout. And from somewhere near the back, she heard a father say, "Looks like another deadbeat dad, too busy to waste his day." The words did not offend her as she smiled up at her mom and looked back at her teacher, who told her to go on. And with hands behind her back, slowly she began to speak, for out of the mouth of a child came words incredibly unique. "My daddy couldn't be here because he lives so far away, but I know he wishes he could be, since this is such a special day. And though you cannot meet him, I wanted you to know all about my daddy and how much he loves me so. He loved to tell me stories. He taught me to ride my bike. He surprised me with a pink rose and taught me to fly a kite. We used to share fudge sundaes and ice cream in a cone. And though you cannot see him, I'm not standing here alone. Because my daddy's always with me, even though we are apart. I know because he told me that he'll forever be in my heart." With that, her little girl reached her hand all the way up and lay it across her chest, feeling her own heartbeat beneath her favorite dress. And from somewhere in the crowd of dads, her mother stood in tears, proudly watching her daughter, who was wise beyond her years. For she stood up for the love of a man not in her life, doing what was best for her, doing what was right. And when she dropped her hand back down, staring straight into the crowd, she finished with a voice so soft, but her message was clear and loud. "I love my daddy very much. He's my shining star. And if he could, he'd be here. But heaven's just too far. You see, he was a fireman and died just this last year when the planes hit the tower and taught Americans to fear. But sometimes when I close my eyes, it's like he never went away." And she closed her eyes and saw him there that day. And to her mother's amazement, she witnessed with surprise a room full of daddies and children all starting to close their eyes. Who knows what they saw before them? Who knows what they felt inside? Perhaps for merely a second, they saw him at her side. "I know you're with me, Daddy," to the silence she called out. And what happened next made believers of those who were once filled with doubt. Not one in that room could explain it. for each of their eyes had been closed. But there on the desk beside her was a fragrant, long-stemmed pink rose. And a child was blessed, if only for a moment, by the love of her shining star and given the gift of believing that heaven is never too far. How grateful today we ought to be for godly fathers, for fathers who love their children, for fathers who teach them in the way of God, for fathers who are trying to lead their children to heaven. And I hope this morning that we all are. But we lead by example most of all. And I hope you're leading by your life. For that's what they see most of all. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you've not been washed in the blood, then it would be impossible for you to put the blood over the doorpost of your family. Maybe you need to put the blood over your own life this morning and cover your family with the blood of Jesus. It rests upon you, and it rests upon me. And I hope this morning that if you are not a Christian, that you'd be challenged this morning on this Father's Day to give your life to Jesus. Never be ashamed to seek him. Never be ashamed to bring him into your home. And to tell your children of the Lord that you love, and tell your children you love them. If you fail this morning as a Christian and you're weak and you need strength that comes from God, then I hope that you'll seek him this morning while we stand and while we sing.